It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I want to call out the medical community for the torture they're about to put me through.
Uh-oh.
I have been asked to do a colonoscopy. And if you're not familiar with those, just the very act is a violation of your body.
Okay.
You
okay.
don't know it, though.
But it's good for you, Tom, because they find things that may not be, you know.
It's not good for you. At the very least, it might find out something bad about you, and then hopefully you can get it fixed.
It's preventative maintenance. It's what you do to your car, man. You run, you know, a pipe up there.
I've never done that to my car.
Okay.
I have far too much respect for my car.
You're not putting anything up its tailpipe?
Never.
Oh, my.
You know what? To be honest, though, it's not the procedure that bothers me, because Kata's right. You're out cold. But when you wake up from that rest, it's like you weren't even violated. And you feel so relaxed and just so rested.
But they do look at you different. The nurses.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, after the procedure, they're like.
Little heads up. They won't let you go until you pass gas.
I didn't know that, and I didn't, so I must have done it before I woke up.
Well, you did before you woke up. You woke up, but you don't remember that part.
Well, I hope if I ever get it again, it's like that.
It's kind of like a mechanic. I'm like, you go in there, and they're going to start the car, make sure they got all the parts back together and stuff.
I would always wonder is what was wrong or what went wrong if you couldn't. Like, they stuck a pipe up there. They looked around. Maybe they clipped a few polyps or something. And then they come back and are like, well, you can't pass gas. We must have left something in there. I mean, what's the option? Why wouldn't you be able to pass gas?
Maybe they go back up with that wand and like wave it around so it opens things up.
It's like a Harry Potter movie.
It's like an adult Harry Potter movie.
What does Harry Potter say? Harry Pooter.
Oh, my.
You get it? What does he say? What's the...
He has a lot of things.
Camino.
Nothing
El
like
Camino.
That.
I don't know.
You're an idiot.
I've not seen the movie.
So, just escapo the arrow out of the butthole.
seen the movie.
This is what they're asking me to do. 7 days prior to my procedure, I'm supposed to stop taking diet medications, which I don't take, so that's no problem. 5 days, no iron supplements. I don't take that, not a problem. 3 days prior, I can no longer eat seeds, nuts, corns, and popcorn.
That's for their benefit.
I get it. That doesn't bother me too much, but it is interesting to me that it's as many as 3 days that you have to prepare ahead of time for that. Then, 2 days out, I go to an all-liquid diet. No solid foods. For 2 days.
Wow, I only had one day.
Have you not done this before?
I did. I only had to do 1 day that time.
Yeah, one day.
Apparently, I wasn't as clear as they would have liked, so they want me to be more clear this time.
You're talking about the 2 days, and then the third day is your appointment?
Yes.
Oh, because, mine was like a Sunday, Monday, and then...
That's starvation.
Yeah.
They gave you extra rules because last time you weren't all...
Squeaky clean.
Yes, exactly. So I didn't get those rules. Mine were different.
But I don't know how I can do that. I don't know how I can go 2 days without eating.
I don't know. You could do it.
Okay, but think about how often he eats even in here.
Yeah.
We're only in here for a few hours,
right.
And he's eating almost the entire time.
Yeah, how am I going to survive?
I suggest doing it over the weekend. That's what I did. The drink you have to drink, you don't want to leave the house.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you how many gallons of fluids I have to drink.
It's refreshing, though.
I felt great.
I love it. Yeah,
I like it. Like my body had been cleansed.
It's like you're a bidet. You just went wild.
I want to get some of those diapers for adults just to be careful.
Oh, you know, I think it's not that extreme.
Not that bad.
It is extreme, man.
You know what's so funny is probably more the upstate knows about your issues than your doctors do. Yeah.
No, my doctors know. I mean, they've looked up there. They've seen I had a polyp last time.
But, I mean, okay, some other doctors out there. You got three or four doctors.
Isn't that a fish?
A polyp?
Oh, that's pollock.
I heard, he said they saw my eye last time. Like
my eye?
Son.
How did you get that?
Scope too far.
They did. They saw the one.
I was hoping nobody'd go there.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't like anything about the prep. The actual procedure wouldn't be so bad, but this is just craziness.
No matter how bad it is for you, think about the person that has to do it to you.
I'm sorry. I would trade with them in a second.
Oh, my goodness.
In a second.
Oh, no.
They got rubber gloves on. They're fine.
Well, at least you don't have to study for a test or anything for this one.
I do. I got two sheets of paperwork here.
And let me tell you, if he don't do the studying, you know who fails the test?
The doctors. Yeah.
You know what? There's a list of questions on here. One of them says, my bottom is so sore, what can I do? That's an actual question, is my bottom is so sore, what can I do? That's bad.
You know, Tommy, you don't have to do it.
I know, right?
You don't.
Well, I would love for them to come up. You know, in about 10 years.
They're going to come up.
Oh, gosh.
In about 10 years, they're going to find a way to do this without all this annoying prep and stuff.
Okay, but that's nothing compared to a mammogram. And you're awake, and there's so many other things
they're
that you have to go through.
They're smashing your colon?
She's talking about
something else.
Mammograms.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Put them in a waffle iron.
There's
and you
no
don't,
prep.
You don't get to be asleep for it or anything. You are wide awake.
Does it have the lines like waffles?
And it has a light that comes on when they're done.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, do you like to hide in your car? A lot of people do hide in your car, even at work.
The trunk? I mean, where do you hide?
You just sit in your car.
I bet under the hood.
No
one would ever look there.
We've had salespeople that I'll walk out to my car to leave, yeah. And they'll be in there taking a nap. Just laid up in there and
yeah.
Get away.
73% of us have used our cars just as a place to get away, to get some alone time from people.
My son comes home from school every day, and he will sit in his car for 20 or 30 minutes before he comes in. I think he's listening to music, which I used to do as a kid, too.
I have friends that do that, but that's because they don't want to go in and deal with kids,
right?
And spouses, and so they'll just sit in the car and chat on the phone.
Yeah, and then she comes out, and she's got, you know, her hair is all over the place. She's getting dinner ready and trying to child rear and all that stuff.
How long have you been home?
Yeah.
What are you doing to the children?
You're like, I don't know how long I've been here.
Just pulled up.
Yeah.
Car's cold, but I just pulled up.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I'd bring those babies out to that car and sit them in there with Dad and be like, enjoy, and go back in.
Yeah,
sit out
that's
there.
You park
while
down
I'm
the street a little bit.
Punches.
At least finish the dinner if you don't mind.
Yours is going to be extra special.
Oh, that ain't good. So using your car for some alone time ranks third on the list of reasons we love having a car.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a place, and I got to say, I love it, like in car line and stuff, is when I get some work done. I can take care of some phone calls, stuff like that. So, yeah, that's what I was saying. All right. So, to go on a leisurely drive was the number one reason we love our cars, just to go take a pleasure drive.
Yeah. I mean, I used to do that a lot in my Corvette. I would go out and get up like a 153, some of these, not, I don't even think that's right, but up Highway 11 in that area, mm-hmm. Some of the twisty roads. And it was fun, but eventually you're like, all right, I don't have time to do that all the time. I would have thought number one thing would be like to get places.
Well, I guess that's kind of the same thing, really.
No, a pleasure drive is not to get anywhere.
It beats walking, I agree, or running.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing you love you most about your car is that it gets you where you need to go.
Okay. They say, shorter day trips, Tom was mentioned. And when you're going on long road trips, it's another thing that it's easier to do that with your car. So
well,
that's why people love
those long trips.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I've walked to the beach once.
Well, I mean, you hear about the Western shows, you know, where they rode in their big wagon with a covered wagon, whatever, and it was a big long trail, the Oregon Trail, and you're on the trail for about 16 weeks.
I wonder if they stopped at Bucky's.
They probably had a Bucky sign about 300 miles from the next one. Do you see all those ones in Anderson?
Yeah.
They're like Bucky's, 287 miles. I'm like, that's not really useful to me.
Yeah.
I think if I woke up tomorrow and I had gone back into the past, into the Western times, I'm not sure I'd want to live.
You probably wouldn't.
I mean, I'm so used to the modern comforts where air conditioning, riding in carriages.
Oh, yeah. Sitting in a desert next to cactus.
No, thank you.
With eating beans out of a can.
Yeah.
Passing gas.
Yeah.
I mean, what you going to do? Like, you got those, instead of a porta potty, you had those outhouses and stuff. I'm like, I don't imagine they sit there for an hour in an outhouse.
Because, they don't have a phone.
Well, that's another reason.
You know, we just got back from a trip. We went to Rome, and they talked about how they did the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these big stalls, and it was like a big U-shaped marble thing with a hole in each one. And then she says they don't have toilet paper back then, so they used a sponge dipped in vinegar on a stick. I'm like, I want to go first. I don't want to be second or third on that list. That's we have it so good now.
Yeah. And I can't imagine it was soft sponges like we have today.
Well, I don't even care. It's just I don't want anyone else's sponge.
Here we are, back at this topic again.
Well, this is what you just brought up about the outhouses. Yeah. You brought it up.
I know. I know. I take responsibility. My dad says that's how they use those shopping catalogs or whatever.
Oh yeah,
back in the day. Mm-hmm. So imagine that toilet paper.
I'll take that over a shared sponge any day.
Another reason we love our cars is to transport things. Not only ourselves, but, maybe going to Home Depot, buying something and taking it back, or your groceries.
Yeah, because that last time I carried a mattress home.
Yeah. You didn't tie it down. You got your arm out. Hold that other side. Make sure it don't flop off. A good place for private phone calls or work calls. And the other thing they say is making it an office. You make your car an office. Some people's cars, you get in and they got papers all over the place, and they got their little, the name on their dashboard. It says, "This is my office."
Oh, wow.
No, okay. I went a little bit too far.
And some use it as trash dump.
Okay.
I was saying a storage unit.
Yes. I've had friends pick me up. I've had to stand there for 15 minutes while they cleaned out the seat.
Yeah.
One friend actually pulled my trash container over. I'm like, wow.
Started dumping stuff.
Yeah. It was all cups and stuff. I'm like, that drives me crazy. I don't have anything in my car. Nothing.
That's the way you are at your house, too, though. You're very neat oriented.
I don't
person.
Like clutter.
Yeah.
And I don't wash baseboards, but there's no paper on my floor.
Well, plus there's nothing worse than turning in your car and you hear something in the back and you're like, oh, please don't be a murderer back there. What is that?
Or is that going to hit me in the back of the head when I stop?
And what are you going to do if you're hungry? I'm like, you don't have a bag
there's
back there?
There's no fry back there. No fry at all.
There you go.
This weekend, if you're looking for fast and furious action, look no further than Moms, late for after school pickup. Speeding down streets, ignoring school zone signs, and returning the stern glare of the volunteer crossing guard. They're Moms, late for after school pickup. Starring the mom who can't stop looking at her cell phone, the mom oblivious to kids in the crosswalk, and the single mom who lets everybody know it. Also starring the mom who has to get Jimmy to soccer practice in 15 minutes, and another mom who has a million things to do. Out of their way because the rules don't apply to them. They're Moms, late for after school pickup. Starts today around 2:30.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, we just had an interesting discussion a few minutes ago, and as we were talking, Tori started making some unusual eye contact with me and gestures, and I couldn't figure out what was going on.
I know, it was weird.
So after the break was over, she says, Tom, I didn't know how to tell you this, but there's a spider in your hair.
Oh.
And so I fortunately did not freak out. I said, how big a spider are we talking? Because that makes the difference. And she said, it's a really little one. I'm like, okay. So then I began to go ahead and do what seemed like the best thing I could think of.
Ow.
Started smacking my head as hard as I could.
But before that, what'd you do?
Well, first, I tried to flick the spider free, and towards Tori.
Straight at me.
Let me get this thing out of my hair.
She's like, you flicked a spider at me.
But I didn't.
And you never hear that sentence anywhere. You flicked a spider at me.
And she said, next time I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And if we're live on the radio or if we're on TV or whatever, if there's a spider in my hair, you can stop what's going on and say, time out, y'all. There's a spider making a nest in your hair.
Well, I didn't mind since it was apparently pretty small. And I know that now.
But black widows are small.
Yeah. They're not. I'm hoping she was talking smaller than that, Cato.
I don't know what she considers small.
Because to me, I was thinking like real small. Because if it's that black widow size, that's big enough to matter.
Well, it wasn't too big, but that little red triangle thing,
right.
It was so
violin,
small, I could barely
right.
see it.
That's how she saw it.
What was really funny about this is afterwards, I immediately began to feel constantly as if there's something crawling in my hair. So I'm constantly picking at my hair and smacking spots. So finally, we're sitting here in the room, and I smacked my neck because I felt something.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I got that little sucker.
Mm.
He's like sitting there going, what did I do? I'm like, you crawled on my neck. That is not allowed.
That poor spider was like, I thought we moved past this.
No, it was still on me. It was not cool.
Itsy bitsy spider climbed down Tom's neck.
not for long.
No, it didn't.
But that's the worst feeling when you think you got like a bug or something in your hair or a spider. To me, spiders are the worst. And to think that you're like, okay, it's probably still there and I got to get rid of it. What's crazy is I killed it and I still am like, checking constantly.
Well, I know. What amazes me is the way God designed our bodies. Like, sometimes you can be sitting with shorts on, and you have, like, feel some little just tingle down at your ankle or something. And you'll look down, there's an ant there. I'm like, just a little bitty thing like that. We can sense that.
Yeah, right. So except for then there's the times whenever you're standing on an ant hill and there's 8,000 ants on your leg when you finally realize that one of them bites you.
Yeah.
It's like it don't always work.
Not always, but for the most part, you know, you can, those little hairs, you can just feel something moving right there. And then if anybody talks about ticks or, you know, bugs.
I'm already itching.
Or lice. Lice is a key word, man. You get that around kids in school and you start to like want to scratch your hair.
Well, I am okay with bugs. Don't love them. But I can, they don't scare me like spiders do. Spiders freak me out for some reason.
They just have so many unnecessary parts to them.
They do. They got 8 legs, 8 eyes.
It's just enough. Like, calm down.
They're kind of a little hairy in a bad way.
It's like those millipedes. They have a lot of legs they don't need.
Yeah,
right there.
Millipedes they're firm. They're hard. They've got that shell.
But they're creepy.
Well, they're not as bad as spiders.
I've got those little pinchy things that come into my bathtub sometimes, and they're long, and they got a lot of legs. That's their butt has a pincher on there, which I'm like, it could be handy.
It could be a crab legs, but just very little crab
legs. What are those things? What are they called?
Silverfish or something?
I think so.
Honestly, I'm not a dirty person.
They're good for your bathroom.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not a dirty person.
You have to be.
I think silverfish is something different. You're talking about pinch bugs. They literally have little pincers on their booty.
Tori makes up names for bugs,
she
though.
Does.
She had the kissing cousin or something.
Kissing bug, and it's real. Look it up.
Every stink bug in our building was a kissing bug.
Well, they're basically twins.
Oh, yeah, I see the silverfish. It doesn't have the pinchers.
Yeah, and silverfish, they are literally silver. And that's not...
I've wondered about that.
Just don't judge me, because I do clean out my bathtub.
Apparently not.
I do.
Pinch bug kind of looks like a mini cockroach with a pincher on its booty.
Why do you feel dirty when, you know, you see a bug in your house or in your pantry? You're like, oh, man, I kind of need to call to somebody.
And just looking at it on the computer, I was kind of cringing.
Mm-hmm. I don't feel dirty.
Well,
I mean, it happens.
Yeah, but if it happens a lot, then I think you're dirty.
A lot, I could understand.
I mean, Hawk's like, yeah, every now and then I see these.
I'm taking bath with a couple of them. Yeah. Floating around there. He's trying to survive on the bubbles.
Something about spiders is the worst. When I was a kid once, I was walking through the woods, and they have those banana spiders in Florida. They're supposedly harmless, but they have meat to them. You could eat one. It's got a bunk of a body. It's a chunky body. And I walked into that thing, and it hit me right in the chest. And I flopped straight backwards down on the ground, just anything not to touch that spider anymore. And I'm flopping around like anyone who saw it couldn't see the spider web, probably thought I was having a seizure.
Everything's bigger in Florida. Like your roaches, they're bigger. They got wings, they fly.
Oh,
the mosquitoes have taken me away in Florida.
Mosquitoes are big.
Yeah, and then your spiders are big.
Spiders, those things are just nasty. Well, you know what? We're still clean people.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I don't know if you could tell today, but, you know, I'm kind of a little bit under the weather here.
Your voice is scratchy.
Yeah, very
probably
much so.
Probably just COVID or something.
Could be. Pass the Lysol. Oh, my gosh. Right over here, please.
Stay away from your speakers. You know that 2/3 of Americans sometimes go to work when they're sick.
Okay. Okay. I know the answer because I do this sometimes.
Oh, well, go ahead. Do tell.
It's because I don't think that you guys would be able to get along without me. I'm that important to the organization.
Okay.
Is that on there?
Write it on there.
Okay. Not really.
That's odd. I would think more people that would be that they feel like they're needed.
They can't do it without me. So I'm going to go in and suffer, and it makes you feel like a better person when you're doing that.
I just feel like I'm doing it for y'all.
Yeah. Okay. 12% said they don't want to be seen as a slacker.
Okay.
So I'm not a slacker. I'm going to go ahead and go into work. While I'm sick, I'm going to be a victim for y'all.
I had the flu many years ago, and I was Saturday, we were supposed to do a remote broadcast with you.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
I had 105 fever, and I was talking gibberish.
Yes, he was.
And my wife would not let me go. I thought I needed to be there to help you out.
Yeah.
And our boss yelled at me for it.
Yes.
Because I didn't go do a remote broadcast when I had 105 fever and didn't make sense.
Yeah. I'm glad that you didn't show up that day. And I'm guessing about, 2,000 of our listeners are as well. Because they'd be shaking hands with Tom.
Probably would have wrecked on the way there.
Uh-huh.
And the crazy thing is, now if you tell them you got a little headache, they send you home for 5 days.
I know, right?
Do you, when you are sick, let's say you do have to be, let's say you're at church or something, or you're getting over an illness. What?
If I'm sick, I don't go to church.
Well,
that's enough excuse for me.
Let's say you're getting over an illness. You're getting over the cold or whatever. Do you shake hands? You say, no, you know what? I've been sick. Or do you like give them an elbow if they want to, shake your hand? Or
I feel like that's on them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to let them know I've been sick.
I would. I would tell them, hey, I've been sick. I don't want to get you sick. And I would bow out.
Yeah. But I wouldn't go out either.
What's even worse is when you watch people wipe their nasty nose and they don't go wash their hands.
Oh, you've been watching me today.
No, but there is someone else in this station that does that.
You know what?
I know.
Is it in this room?
No, not okay. In this room, but I have seen this person do it, and it is disgusting.
You know what? Only call out people that's in the room. It's more fun.
No. All right, well, let's talk.
I'm curious now.
I am too. How about when you're checking out, like if you go to Walgreens or CVS because, you're sick, do you feel like they're judging you?
Or even if you're not sick, but I feel like I need to tell the cashier I'm not sick. It's just preventative.
Yeah.
I don't even like going in those stores because I figure everyone who went in there was sick.
Well,
yeah, they're judging you because I bought other things where I'm thinking they know what's wrong with me right now.
Well, sure, if you're buying a Fleet enema.
Well, 14% say that they don't get paid sick days. That's why they go ahead and just go into work because they need to get the time on the clock.
Right? Got a good caring boss.
Now, Tom, this one does line up. They are essential to the company.
That's exactly what I just said.
Yeah. So,
and you said it wasn't on the list.
It's going to crumble without you. Well, I'm sick.
That's why I need to be here because he ain't going to cover things right if I'm not looking over his shoulder.
I slipped. I didn't see that one.
And that's why I need to be here.
And that's the top one on the list.
Exactly.
All right, 18% say they have too much work to do, so they want to make sure they get their work done.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it'll still be there when you go back.
You know what? It will. And Tom told me to read this book. It's like, don't sweat the small stuff. And everything is small. And you think about that. You know what? That work will still be sitting there. It's not a big deal.
Unless they fire you because you didn't get it done.
Okay, but you know what? You can find another job that gives you more work.
And in that case, it's still not your problem. So.
All right. 8% of people say they're afraid they will be fired if they don't come in on a sick day, like that example for you.
Yep.
And then 11% say saving their sick days for when their kids get sick instead of when they're sick.
That makes sense.
Yes, it does.
That is logical.
But it still sucks for everyone that just got sick.
Yeah, that's true.
At work that was around you.
But I mean, most of the time, management, your bosses, companies expect you to be there, sick or not.
Well, there's a lot of parents, too, that will just send their kid in to wherever.
School.
When they,
daycare.
And they got all these rules at school. Like, if the kid has discharge or is coughing and all this stuff.
I know. Really have to use that?
That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, and there are parents that send them into the studio when they're coughing.
Yeah.
And parents that send their kids to school whenever they have, chicken pox.
Oh, wow.
That's happened.
Mm.
You're like, come on, seriously?
I can't help it. I gotta go to work, and I don't have daycare.
You sent your kid to school with chicken pox.
Yeah, they've only had it 2 days, though.
Yeah.
They're good.
It's a little rash.
Oh, I hate that. I hate when people suddenly become doctors and tell you they're not contagious anymore.
All parents do that.
No, everyone. You do it. You're like, I'm not contagious anymore. I'm like, well, excuse me, Dr. Harrison, but where did you get that info from?
Stop coughing.
And quit coughing.
I don't think I'm contagious, though.
It's just allergies.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.